Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we begin this new series called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick dives into the book of Jonah and shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. Please invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called What to Do When You Cause a Storm.
Manifestation is not a word we use a lot today. It's an old English word, but it's used all through the Bible. And what it means is one day it's going to be very clear to everybody whether you fulfilled your mission or not. There's going to be a day of accountability. There's going to be a day of judgment. And the Bible says everybody's going to see my mission and your mission and see whether we did anything about it or not. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Each one of us should be careful how we build our lives. Okay, we're all building lives, okay? We're all building our lives. Now, the only true foundation for building is Jesus Christ. Now, most of you already got this, okay? Jesus Christ is the foundation of your life. So you're a believer, you're a follower, you're a Christian, and you got the right foundation. But you can have the right foundation, still build the wrong structure. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, we should all be careful how we build our lives. The only true foundation for building is Jesus Christ. But be careful in choosing what building materials you use on that foundation. Now, he says, you get a choice of what you're going to build your life on. You can build with values that last forever, like gold, silver, and jewels. In other words, 10,000 years from today, gold will still be gold, silver will still be silver, it won't have rusted, precious jewels will still be there. They're not going to burn up, they're not going to rust, they are timeless. So you can build on timeless values that last forever, like gold, silver, and jewels, or you can build your life with values that burn up and won't last, like wood and hay and straw. So I go out here and I build a structure with wood, hay, and straw. It's not going to be here in 50 years, much less 1,000 or 10,000 years. It's going to burn up. Now, one day, your work on earth, that's your mission, will be inspected by God. Inspected on the day of judgment. And God will test it by fire. So that the quality of your work, that's the quality of your life, the quality of your life mission, is manifested. What does that mean? Everybody can see it. It's perfectly clear whether you wasted your life or you used it effectively. Whether the quality of your work is manifested, and all will see the true value of what you accomplished with your life. That's your mission. Now, if your work survives the fire, if your mission survives the fire, you will receive your reward. This is eternal reward in heaven. But if your work is burned up, you'll lose your reward. Even though you yourself will be saved like someone barely escaping a fire. Now, what's he saying here? He's not talking about your salvation. If you have Jesus Christ as the foundation of your life, you cannot lose your salvation. You can lose rewards. You cannot lose your salvation because it's a gift to you. You didn't work for it, so you can't unwork for it. So you're going. If you have Christ as the foundation of your life, you're going to heaven. He's not talking about that. He's saying that in heaven, that God is going to give rewards for how well you used your life. Did you make it count? Did you fulfill your mission? Did you do what God put you on earth to do? Did you even care enough to find out about what God put you here on earth to do? And he says, if you do a pretty good job of it, there's going to be rewards in heaven. But he says, if I don't do a good job or I don't even care to learn my mission, He said, I'm going to lose the rewards. I'll be in heaven, but I will lose the rewards. See how important this is? That's why I'm going to spend an entire month as your pastor who loves you, as your personal spiritual coach. I want you to pass that exam. I want you to get the rewards in heaven that God has already planned for you. Now, there are three ways you can learn in life. You can learn by explanation, you can learn by experience, and you can learn by example. A lot of what we learn in life, we learn by explanation. You go to school, and somebody teaches you how to do math. They explain math, then you know how to do math. If they explain a language, you learn a language. They explain history, you learn history. A lot of stuff we learn through explanation. Then, some things you can only learn in life by experience. It's the only way you're going to learn it. And you learn those things sometimes the hard way through experience. But there are some things in life you should never learn by experience. God doesn't want you to learn evil by experience. God doesn't want you to learn that abuse is painful by being abused. There are a lot of things God does not want you to learn from experience. The easiest way to learn is to learn by example. And you can learn from good examples and you can learn from bad examples. Successes and failures can both teach you. It's wise to learn from experience, but it's actually wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Why? Because then you don't have to go through all the pain. Then you don't have to go through all of the difficulty. Then you don't have, it doesn't take so much time. It's a whole lot faster. Learning from the experiences of others is not only less painful, it's faster. I don't have enough time in life to learn everything by making a mistake. No, that didn't work. There isn't enough time in life to learn everything by experience. So you have to learn some stuff through the experiences of others. And that's why we're going to take this book called the Book of Jonah. And we're going to learn from the good and the bad experiences of his life mission. Because Jonah was a guy who the first half of his life, he totally blew it, missed his life mission. But in the second part of his story, he gets on track and it ends up good. It ends up well.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
All right, let's look at lessons from Jonah about your life mission. And there are 10 lessons that we're going to look at. Some of these are so simple, I can just state them. I don't take half a long time to explain them. Others of them take a little bit longer. Some of them are warnings on things not to do. And some of them are actually, the last three are miracles that happen in your life when you fulfill your life mission. So let's get right into it. Number one, my life mission will come through God's word. That's the first thing I want you to write down. Now, a lot of people make up a mission for their life because everybody wants to have a cause to live for. So they go out and say, this is a good cause. That's what I'm going to give my life to. That's better than nothing. But you're never going to be ultimately fulfilled by just a cause you pick to get interested in. Because you're going to put your head down at night and you're going to go, there's got to be more to life than this. Because there is. You were made for a uniquely designed mission that only you can do. We're going to just go through this chapter verse at a time. There's 17 verses in Jonah chapter 1. And verse 1:1 says this. One day, God spoke his word to Jonah, the son of Amittai. This is how he gets his mission. Now, how does God speak to you? How does he speak his word to you? Through the Bible. The more you get in this book, the more you're going to understand your mission for life. But God uses lots of ways. When you hear somebody teaching, like I'm teaching right now, when you listen to a podcast like Daily Hope, when a friend shares a Bible verse with you, the Bible says God speaks through visions. The Bible says God speaks through dreams. But he always never contradicts his word. So we start, if you want to know your mission, you're going to have to get in the Bible. Stop looking for a vision, start looking for a verse. Okay, number two, second thing about my mission is my life mission will require a step of faith. It's going to move you out of your comfort zone because God is only pleased by faith. Now in verse two, God says to Jonah, here's your mission, Jonah. I want you to get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Nineveh, at that time, was the biggest and most important city in the world. It was the metropolis. It was the center of the universe, basically. Wide, wide boulevards, parks, canals, great architecture, palaces, temples. It was an incredibly metropolitan, beautiful city. But it was also a very cruel city. A very brutal city. It was a wicked city because the Assyrians at this time were kind of the Nazis of the day. And they destroyed everything in their path. And they treated everybody else with racial prejudice. And they were not nice people. And there was a lot of evil going on in this beautiful city. Now, why is this mission going to take faith for Jonah? Well, for several reasons. First, Jonah is raised in a little teeny tiny itty bitty village, maybe 500 people. He's not a city dweller. He's not an urbanite. And God's saying, I want you to go from your little town of a couple hundred people to the biggest city in the world. That's going to be a stretch culturally for him. Second, Nineveh is about 550 miles from where Jonah lives in Israel. How's he going to get there? He's going to have to walk 550 miles. This is not going to be an easy journey. But more than that, it's a step of faith because Nineveh was the mortal enemy of Israel. The Assyrians had captured and dominated and enslaved the Jews several different battles and times. And so the Assyrians hated Israel, and Israel hated the Assyrians. And they were mortal enemies. They were political enemies. They were religious enemies. They were racial enemies. They did not like each other. And on top of that, Jonah is just prejudiced. He's a nationalist. He goes, I believe in my country and nobody else's. And I don't want to go help those people. They're the enemy. I don't like them racially, politically, spiritually, religiously. I don't like anything about it. I don't want to go help those people, God. So we got a problem here because your mission will often challenge your comfort zone. It may challenge your politics. It may challenge your prejudices. Now, Tom's going to come and talk about the next two principles, but number three, write this down, is my life mission will somehow help others. My life mission will somehow help others.
So God's given us a mission to help other people because he loves everyone. A life mission that helps only me, that's not really a life mission. It's okay to have personal goals. You should have personal goals for business, for how much you're going to save, for maybe retirement. But life mission is different. It's about how God wants to use you to help other people. And the truth of this is, when you think about helping other people, God loves everyone, and he cares about people that are in pain. And so in our life mission, God is going to use us to express his love, to express his care to people that are in pain. God cares about injustice. that's in this world. He cares about injustice because he knows how it's hurting his children. And so this was part of Jonah's life mission. What we learn about life mission from Jonah. Second half of verse 2, God says, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and tell them that I see all the evil happening there and I won't ignore it. So Jonah's thinking, oh, that's going to be a really popular message, God. I mean, really, thank you very, very much. I don't want to go, and then this is the message that you give me. This message stinks, God. I don't want to share this. But God is having him share it because he cares about the pain that that injustice is bringing. God loves cities. He loved every person in Nineveh, but he also saw and he hated how injustice and evil was hurting people in that city. He hated it. The reason God hates sin is because it hurts his children. That's why he hates it, because he loves us so much. When you look at our lives, God sees all the evil in every one of our lives. He sees all the bad choices that we make, and he is patient with those choices. I mean, if he wasn't patient, none of us would be here anymore. If God zapped us out of existence the minute we did something wrong, I'd have been gone a long time ago. There'd be nobody sitting here today. But God is patient with us in that. And he continually says to us, I love you. Look at these next couple of verses up on the screen. Bible says in Nehemiah 9:17, God is a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and full of patient love and mercy. He does not abandon people in their sin. That's part of our life mission, is to remind people, remind ourselves, God never abandons us. And then 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Repentance is turning around, turning my mind back towards God, away from the injustice or the evil that's in my life. Now, God is patient, but he will not indefinitely delay the judgment that he has against evil and injustice. So that's why the life mission is to say, God has not abandoned you. There is a way out. That's part of the mission. Number four, my life mission may scare me at first. It might scare me because think of this. This is God's mission for your life. So it's because it's God's vision, it's bigger than you. And that can be scary to us. A lot of us know exactly what this is all about. It certainly scared Jonah. In verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord. He heard about it. God says, you got to go to Nineveh. And he says, there's no way I'm doing that, God. That is the last thing in the world that I'm doing. I am not going to Nineveh. I don't want to be there. I'm scared to be there. And he ran the opposite direction. When you get afraid, when you're frightened, the flight or fright syndrome, he is running away as fast as he can from God. And he reminds me to ask myself a question all of us need to ask ourselves from time to time. And that is, what am I running from right now in my life? Is there something that I'm running from? Am I running from my past? Am I running from my problems? Am I running from even some opportunities that might be in front of me that scare me? Am I running from the expectations of other people? And in all of it, is there some place that I'm running from God? And so I ask myself the question, we all need to ask ourselves, is there something God has told me to do that I'm not willing to do? And I'm running as far away as I can from that thing that he has told me to do. When we do that, we think we're hiding from God somehow. We're not, of course. He's so great, he sees everything. It's sort of like playing hide and seek with a 2 or a 3-year-old. You know, they just hide their face from you in the corner and you can see them still. But they think they're hiding. And we do the same thing with God because we're not looking at him. We think he can't see us, but he sees everything. He knows right what you're going through right now. Look at what the Bible says up on the screen in Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I went up to heaven, you're there. If I die, you're there. If I flew as far as east or west as possible, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You can run, but you can't hide from God. And one of the great lessons of life, I'm still learning this one, is when I get afraid, I run to God. I don't run away from God. Jonah made that mistake. He's tried to run away from God. And you can do that. God will let you do that in his patience. You can try to run away from God for the rest of your life, but then you're going to run into number 5. Number 5 is running from my mission, it causes bad consequences.
Running from my mission causes bad consequences. So God says to Jonah, go. Jonah says, no. God says, oh? There are always consequences to every decision. You see, one of the things God did is he gave you the freedom to choose. I can choose to totally ignore God with my life if I want to. I don't have to love God. I don't have to obey God. I don't have to even acknowledge God. I can pretend God doesn't exist. God gives you that choice and gives me that choice. Why? Because he wanted people who voluntarily love him, not have to love him. So you can mess up your life all you want. And God is like, fine, that's, you know, have it your way, Burger King. And he'll let you mess up your life. You are free to make any choice in life you want. God gave you that freedom. But you are not free from the consequences of those choices. And that's what we don't understand. Because we think because we're free to make choices, we're free from the consequences. No, the moment, if I'm free to jump off this thing, I'm free. But the moment I jump off, I'm no longer free. There's a law called the law of gravity that's going to cause me to fall. And I'm going to hurt myself.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us today. And if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.